to you, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, let me say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Today we're talking about a current subject that I believe is should be an issue that we all should be considering today. We're in the Thanksgiving season. We're talking about today, be ye thankful. By the way, that's a command found in Colossians 3:15. Be ye thankful. But the question is, are we truly thankful? Are we thankful as a nation? Are you thankful as an individual, a home, and a family? Or is it something that you still feel that you need to grasp and to gain and to gather and to get and always be looking at it on the basis, I deserve more. I deserve more. Are you in the position, as so many today, that says, well, you know, my neighbor has this and my neighbor has that. I deserve the same thing, so I'm going to abandon God. I'm not going to church on Sunday. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to study the Scripture. I'm not going to submit and surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to be doing everything that I can, humanly speaking, personally speaking, to gain together to get things that I want. I believe that's where we are in society. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of ingratitude in our nation, as a result of a blanket unthankfulness in our nation, I believe we're witnessing the deterioration of the warp in the woof, that's the fabric of our nation. We're witnessing the deterioration of the morals, ethics, and values. We're witnessing today where kids, teenagers, preteens, as well as older people are involved in all manner of wicked, evil deeds and things. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The roving bands of youth and gangs are committing all manner of crime across our nation. We see in our schools the immoral acts of the students, and the we wonder why. Why is it? You ever thought about this? Why is it you see so many kids today having immoral acts, sexual relationships? Why is it you find kids in school today that don't even think the second time when they talk about a kill list, or when they talk about, as I just read an article, where they use artificial intelligence to paint, if you please, prepare and develop nude pictures of teenagers in their schools, and think nothing about it? It's because the lack, L-A-C-K, of morals, ethics, and values. And it's as a result of the declension in our morals and ethics and values taught in our churches, because so many churches today have taken the woke progressive mindset that will not talk about sin, will not talk about heaven or hell, will not talk about sinning unto death, will not say anything about the real issues that's proclaimed in the Scripture. I'm looking at a frightening headline. You are an absolute monster. Teenager sentenced to 35 years for sadistic and evil serial rapes. A Wisconsin teenager was convicted of sadistic and evil acts related to a series of rapes committed in Milwaukee. 17-year-old was sentenced to 35 years in prison on Tuesday by the judge at the Milwaukee County Courthouse. In December, the a person saw a random woman from a busy street and followed her into the elevator of her apartment. He raped her and then stomped on her surgical incision on her leg. And this person says, nothing can give me back life as I knew it, and my leg cannot be given back. And it goes on to talk about the horrors of what had happened. I had to run for my life, and my survival depended on instinct, said the woman. Trauma is not measured by how quickly a victim can get over it. Goes on to talk about the fact that the student was already wearing a monitoring device for crimes that he already committed and still committing the crimes. And ladies and gentlemen, it seems as though there's no turning it back of these kinds of actions, mindset, and immoral acts that have been committed. You have to ask why. My personal opinion, you can differ. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. It is my personal opinion that we're finding the greater and greater number of immoral, ungodly, unholy acts. We're finding a greater and greater number as a result of the falling away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may be in a church where you have a house full. As you sit there and watch a preacher preach on a giant screen and you leave calling it worship. Let me just do a little footnote here. Worship is not being entertained by a big screen where someone is preaching on the screen. Worship is where you have a Christian pastor that's leading the worship, that is involved in the preaching of the Word of God and the leading of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm adamantly opposed to the worshiping on a screen. That's not corporate worship. That's not biblical worship. That is entertainment at the very height of it. I'm adamantly opposed to that type of worship. It is not worship according to my scripture and what the Word of God says, where there's fellowship around the Word and fellowship one with another. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned with where we are as a nation. I'm concerned with the declension that we're in. And may I once again go back and say, I believe it is the nexus, the linkage of that statement is found in the fact that we're in the throes of apostasy, where churches are closing, folding up, going out of ministry as a result of the people that claim they're saved, turning their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ and not supporting the local New Testament church. A New Testament church is where people of like faith and manner get together, sing praises to the Lord, and thank Him and thank Him and thank Him some more. And the Word of God is opened. Exegetical, expository preaching is done, where you can learn the Word of God. Learn what God says from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. You find God's progressive revelation of Himself to man. And we find that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one of the key elements that you find in the nation of Israel was that they oftentimes would stop praising God and thanking Him, and God would not bless them. In fact, God would curse them as a result of their failure to recognize God and to honor Him. I'm looking at a headline, Selective Enforcement. Chicago sued for discrimination against Christian teachers. Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, before I read further in this article, why is it we're finding so many cities, so many states, so many institutions, so many organizations that's trying to prosecute, persecute, and punish Christians and Christian churches, Christian teachers, Christian photographers, Christian bakers, Christian wedding planners, and I could go on and on and on. Listen to the article. It's dated November the 14th, just a few days ago. School officials in the city of Chicago are being sued by the famed Moody Bible Institute for their public school programs that banished qualified prospective teachers from Moody from participating in required classroom observations. If the First Amendment means anything, it means that religious institutions and religious people have the same rights as everybody else, said the lawyer from ADF, that is Alliance Defending Freedom, which is representing Moody. We believe that the First Amendment speaks very clearly to that issue. And just like Christian students shouldn't be forced to give up opportunities for the following of their faith, a Christian school should not be forced to choose between its faith and advancing educational opportunities for its students. The filing charge for the district not only has harmed the school's reputation, but also its elementary school educational student program and its for job prospects. The reports explain Moody Bible Institute's Bachelor of Arts Elementary Education program requires prospective students, prospective teachers, to complete a minimum number of classroom observations, practicums, and student teaching hours. But Chicago school officials are refusing, hear me, refusing to let Moody Institute students participate unless Moody abandons their religious-based hiring practices and hire employees who disagree with Moody's core mission and biblical values. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a school teacher, in most states there's a requirement of a number of hours that that student teacher witness a classroom setting and look at the practicums and be involved in practicums and student teaching hours firsthand. Now, here's the picture. In Chicago, they're saying to the Moody Bible Institute, with their training program for teachers, that their teachers cannot do the observations in the public school system because their hiring practices require only teachers, that is students and student teachers, only require those that are like faith and manner, i.e. those that are saved. And they're saying that, no, you've got to hire employees that disagree with your mission and biblical values. Ladies and gentlemen, why is that so? Why are we seeing these things take place in America? I believe it's absolutely because of the apostasy, the falling away, for the fact that so many today that claim they're saved are leaving the household of faith. They're making a decision to be obedient to government rather than to be obedient to God. And in the scripture, it's very clear. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than government. That doesn't mean that we're anarchists. Doesn't mean that we stop obeying the sign that says STOP when you get out on the highway. Pissed off, you stop. But we're talking about where there's a mindset the government is going to try to nullify, stop anything that's called morals and ethics and values. And as a result of that, we're witnessing today the great falling away. And as a result of that falling away, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing that vacuum being filled by immoral, ungodly, unholy aspects and attitudes and actions. And ladies and gentlemen, it's because we have failed to show thankfulness, thanksgiving to the Lord. And again, may I say, thanksgiving is not one day out of the year. Thanksgiving should be every day that we wake up. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you for giving me your word. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for the ability to serve you. And asking God to bless us that day. I believe we have James on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, I just got off a roof. I was upstairs doing some repairs, and somebody sent me something very disturbing. Evidently, the city council meeting has put back on their agenda that it's to meet again, and prior to the issues of the certificate, something about soundproofing and designed and the number of animals that have. So everybody do your own research, but to me it looks like they rewrote it and they didn't withdraw it. They amended it, and it looks like they're going to have to do soundproofing measures and limit the number of animals per day that get in there. So do your, that's between Beach Boulevard, DeSalvo, and Cortez. I'm hoping it's wrong. I'm calling around now to try to verify it, but I'm looking at it in Land Use and Zoning Committee 4-2025-0488. So anyhow.
James, I'm afraid you're right. I believe that I made mention to someone just recently that was not withdrawn as it was touted to be. It was simply an opportunity for a modification and for a rehearing on the same case. There's a major move, in my most humble opinion, to circumvent the process, to circumvent the rules, the regulations, the guidelines, and to modify them and modulate them in such a way that it would sound like, well, we've changed everything, it's going to be okay. But if you open that slaughterhouse door for the Islamics, it's not going to be but a matter of days, weeks, months, perhaps very close to a year. Everything will change. Nobody paying attention. The inspectors won't go in and say do anything. And it'll be in your face, the Islamic uprising in the city of Jacksonville. We're witnessing that. And I've said before, when it comes to things like this, I believe a group of citizens need to file a suit against the city council, against the planning and zoning department, and against the city of Jacksonville in general for a stop of this moving forward. It violates the code and what was supposed to go in there. It violates the practices. It violates anything that would be called legitimate regulations and rules. It is giving place to the devil, and as a result of that, the city of Jacksonville will suffer in the future for it. I believe there needs to be a class action suit against the city of Jacksonville. I believe anybody that's listening to this, if you're interested, if you're concerned, I recommend that somebody find an attorney, a good constitutional attorney, a good business law attorney that will handle that pro bono for the benefit of our city. James, it deserves our prayer and our thankfulness that God is still on the throne. Tell our listeners just very briefly, in your most humble opinion, what is Thanksgiving and why the scripture is so clear in Colossians 3:15, be ye thankful is a command.
It's so much. We could do a week's worth of shows on it, but as we know, by faith through grace, we've been saved, all of us. And are we deserving? Have we done or can we do anything to deserve what's been laid out for us and given to us? And I think that's why so many of us, it took me late in life, I wish I could say, you know, I was, you know, October 11, 2009, and I'll be 69 this year. And I would tell you that avoid the rush, bow now, and realize that God sent his only son to die for us. And there's nothing we can do to earn it, deserve it. But boy, we can be more grateful and more thankful. And I think that there's a lot more to be done with the works that we try to turn around and live out, so people can see that the Lord is in us, whether we're in a grocery store, a laundromat, a car wash, wherever we are and whoever we're in contact with, either through words or not, should be able to feel the Holy Spirit in us, indwelling in us. The light can't be hidden, and as you get in the Bible, you can't avoid, as Dr. Youngblood often calls it, the truth book. You can't avoid to have the truth and the light in you as you admonish other people and edify other people, but point them always to Christ and to his precious word. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. James, I'm thankful for you, brother, and I'm thankful for your call. Keep praying, keep looking up, and my footnote recommendation on the other is to keep networking with others to get a voice so loud, so strong, that the city cannot ignore it on that slaughterhouse where they're planning on placing it. Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you. May you have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, the mandate in the scripture is to be ye thankful. But we find that unthankfulness, ingratitude permeates our society today. And when a nation does not recognize God, when a nation does not thank him and praise him, God will punish that nation for failing to praise and thank him. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. But then which when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Ladies and gentlemen, that's God's word. That's not my word. It's God's word. And God's word says, when a people glorified him not, neither were they thankful. Then you read the balance of that text, which is found in Romans chapter 1. You find what God did. And God says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to be thankful more than just on Thanksgiving Day. I believe thankfulness to God ought to be a planned purpose in our heart. And that is shown in our being salt and light and thanking him each and every day. We see more and more of the evidence in our nation of unthankfulness. Listen, when we do not recognize God as the provider, as the security, as the only hope, as the only source, and we go to the wake progressive attitude, the anti-God culture, I believe the Bible is filled with commands to be thankful. May I say that we need to be thankful each and every day. I believe Becky's on the line. Becky, go over the question or comment, please.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call. I believe that in the thankfulness, it also speaks in, and I'm driving down the road, so I don't have my Bible in front of me right now, but in 1 Corinthians around chapter 9 or 10, talks about charity. Let's talk about that charity and how we become into charity from being thankful. But a lot of times people think they become thankful first and then they have charity. Would you like to expound on that?
Well, that's a nexus to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Talks about it's the love, the charity love chapter in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. And love, by the way, is powerful. Love is real. Love ought to be in the heart and the life of every Christian. But and I know this is not what you're saying, but multitudes today say because we're to love everybody, they can have the LGBTQ agenda, they can have the murder by way of abortion, they can have all kinds of manner ill lifestyle, and we still need to love them. Yes, God loves the person, but he doesn't love the sin, and God counters sin, and many times a sin that is not recognized in the heart and the life of multitudes is that of ingratitude, that of unthankfulness. That's the key to what I'm calling and talking about today and what we ought to see as thanksgiving. I believe we need to be thankful.
Absolutely.
For what God has done. And I think we've lost I hate to use the term, I believe we've lost the art and science in relationship to thankfulness. And Becky, I really believe that what we're seeing today with the declension in morals, ethics, and values, when we're witnessing the teenagers and the preteens in the city streets across the nation, when we witness what is happening with the rape, robbery, murder, and gun-toting, et cetera, of the kids, it goes right back to the fault, if you please, of the church doors, and that goes back to the fact that the church doors are being closed across the nation because of the apostasy, the falling away of those that say that they're saved. If we're going to be salt and light, if we're going to be salt and light, we need to be out in the world as a preservative and as a luminary that others might see the Lord Jesus Christ and that we might praise him and thank him. But Becky, what are you planning for Thanksgiving, by the way?
I'm actually going to a meeting hall to do Thanksgiving with many who are in addiction and alcoholism.
Amen. Point out the scripture why we need to be thankful regardless of the condition. In fact, when we look at Psalms 106, verse 1, we see we need to praise him because his love endures forever. That's a pretty good length of time.
Amen. Absolutely. But, you know, the love, it's true, absolutely, with charity and love, that if we as Christians love the person and show them other than hate, we can bring them to the Lord.
Absolutely. It's our responsibility, and that's part of the salt and light aspect. But the scripture is very clear. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And the salt and light aspect in Matthew chapter 5 is talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out. I believe that's one of the reasons we're finding church doors closing across America, because churches have lost its savor. No more salt, no more light. And the light comes from the light of the world, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, through his written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. So, Becky, it deserves our prayer. It deserves that we continue to look up, recognizing that our redemption draweth nigh. Becky, thank you so much for calling, and may you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're seeing a need today for thankfulness, for thanksgiving. I'm looking at a headline that says, Tennessee school says no to a faith-based sports club. Let me read you a brief paragraph. This week, First Liberty sent a letter to the Smith County Board of Education in Tennessee informing the board of two students' rights to start faith-based sports clubs at their schools. We're representing Josh Gibbs and his middle school and elementary age sons. Like many parents across America, Josh is a person of faith who wants his children to be surrounded by a Christian community while at school. Last year, Josh's older son participated and enjoyed attending meetings through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where classmates gathered to pray, share stories, and listen to a devotional from a member of the community. This year, Josh's son wanted to start and lead similar clubs. They began looking at first steps on how to apply, but so far the school district has told both students, no, you cannot have a faith-based sports club in the school. Ladies and gentlemen, that's coming about as a result of the declension of the morals, ethics, and values. That's coming about as a result of the failure of the churches to have the morals and ethics and values being taught through a biblical perspective, and to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I believe the more we find of ingratitude, the more we find the unthankfulness in the hearts and the lives of those in the political arena as well as in the spiritual arena. I'm thinking about in Luke chapter 17, where, if you are familiar with the Bible, the narrative given by the Lord Jesus, where 10 leprous men, leprosy in that day was a guaranteed death, 10 leprous men saw Jesus coming. All 10 of them went and fell down at the feet of Jesus and asked Jesus for mercy to heal them. Jesus healed all 10 of these death-ridden men, leprous men. And out of the 10 of them, 9 went away, and only one came back, fell on his knees, and said, thank you, thank you, thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question is to you, what has God done for you? What has God provided for you? Has God given you life and health and breath and strength? And have you said thank you for it? Have you recognized that every heartbeat, every breath comes from a benevolent benefactor, and his name is God? And we need to thank him. And that thanksgiving should be more than just on a single day. That thanksgiving ought to be day after day after day throughout our life as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at Psalms 136, verse 1, 2, and 3. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3, O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to say thank you to the Lord for, and we need to say thank you every day. Thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace that endures forever and forever. We need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because God is good. In Psalms 107, verse 1, the scripture says this, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 8 says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15 says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31 says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You would think that God's saying praise the Lord, don't you? you're saying praise the Lord for thankfulness. We're thankful for the Lord because his mercy endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that you have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving. It is my prayer that you recognize Thanksgiving ought to be every day, every morning when you wake up, every night when you go to bed, saying thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for health. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for America. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your opportunity. We have the opportunity to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7.